In this series on the Book of Ruth, I have suggested that the author keeps us in suspense by leading us to ask what comes next. Indeed, what comes next when Naomi and Ruth are left widows in Moab? What comes next when Ruth embraces Naomi and her covenant Lord? What comes next when Ruth happens to glean in the fields of Boaz? What comes next when Ruth asks Boaz to spread his covering over her at the threshing floor? This beautiful story, beautifully told, is like a good novel. Perhaps a Charlotte Bronte Jane Eyre. Or a Jane Austen persuasion. Or perhaps a Charles Dickens Tale of Two Cities. Or Katsuo Ishiguro, The Remains of the Day. Or perhaps Alexander Solzhenitsyn, The First Circle. To mention a few compelling, powerful, yea, even in some cases, beautiful novels. This little book of Ruth is like a good novel. It is very hard to put down. We want to read on. We want to see what comes next. We want to finish the story. This morning, we will finish the story. But with this audience, it will be difficult to maintain the author's sense of suspense and surprise. Most of you, if not all of you, know the end of the story already. So I doubt that any of you are in for a surprise ending this morning. Let us begin with the text. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then Boaz said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." And the closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, And this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased may not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today." And all the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephratah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord shall give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." And Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hetzron, and to Hetzron was born Ram, and to Ram Amminadab, and to Amminadab was born Nashon, and to Nashon Salmon, and to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz Obed, and to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse David. The last scene, actually the next to the last scene in our lovely drama, occurs at the gate. At the gate of the house of bread, at the gate of Bethlehem. At the gate of the city to which Naomi and Ruth returned for refuge. At the gate of the city out of which Ruth went to glean. At the gate of the city from which Ruth went to lay at the feet of Boaz. At the gate of the city of Bethlehem, the future of Naomi and Ruth will be determined. Boaz has come to the gate to plead for the widow and the stranger. Boaz has come to the gate intending to redeem his near kinsman. The gate where the elders of Israel sit. The gate where judgments are reached by the elders. The gate where the final judgment, will be declared in our drama. The gate is the courtroom of Bethlehem, Judah. What the elders determine at the gate will be legally binding on Boaz and Ruth. Boaz went up to the gate for judgment. Verse 1. We know we have arrived at a new scene in our story here in chapter 4, for the camera tracks Boaz from the threshing floor outside Bethlehem to the city gate at the entrance to Bethlehem. Scene shift. and a new act in our drama. As shift of location is a key narrative element in the entire book of Ruth, so too in this final chapter, change of venue means narrative and dramatic progression. As we have learned to look for change of scene to mark off narrative units of the book of Ruth before, so we have learned to check for symmetry, for parallel balance in narrative markers in order to determine the boundaries of narrative units. If the camera tracks Boaz to the gate of Bethlehem to inaugurate this final scene, does the camera also track Boaz from the gate of the city at the end of this final scene? Does the gate of the city bookend this scene, this final scene before the elders of Bethlehem? Is there symmetry? Is there narrative symmetry here? Beginning of the scene, ending of the scene, parallel to one another. And we glance down at verse 11 and discover the Hebrew word for gate once more. Gate in verse 1, gate in verse 11, gate as the scene opens, gate as the scene closes. The action at the gate begins and ends with location. Ruth chapter 4, verses 1 to 12 occurs at the gate in the city of Bethlehem. The gate of Bethlehem brackets the action of Boaz before the elders at the gate. And you will notice that the elders reinforce this marker, this symmetrical bracket, this scene-defining unit. Verse 2, the elders. Verse 11, the elders. The scene which opens and closes at the gate opens and closes with the elders. Now there is another element which demarcates this section. In verses 1 to 12, we meet the fourth character in our drama. Naomi, we know. Ruth, we know. Boaz, we know. All of these, we know by name. The fourth person, we do not know by name. He is known to us by his action, but he remains nameless. Is his name forgotten because he failed in his duty, failed in his responsibility, failed in his obligation to act as the Goel, to act as the kinsman redeemer, to play the part of the leveret? Is this fourth character anonymous because he omits his accountability? He leaves undone his role, his God-given role, his role as the redeemer of the widow and the stranger. Perhaps he has no name because he despised God's law. In fact, we know this man with no name from the beginning of our drama. He is the shadowy Goel, or close relative alluded to by Naomi in chapter 2, verse 20. Only there, in that second chapter, in Naomi's limited knowledge, she has been absent from Bethlehem for a long time. In chapter 2, verse 20, the shadowy Goel figure is identified with Boaz. But Boaz is no shadowy figure. He is a boldly illuminated and tenderly, yea, attentively presented near relative. And he knows, as Naomi does not know. Boaz knows he is not the mysterious Goel. There is one closer than I, chapter 3, verse 12. But now, at last, we meet the mysterious fourth character. In the fourth chapter of Ruth, the man with no name, at the gate of Bethlehem, before the elders, in the seat of judgment. Not only are we introduced to a new character in our narrative, we are informed of a new fact in this fourth chapter. Boaz tells us that Naomi has returned from the land of Moab in verse 3, a fact which we already know, and that she has a piece of land for sale, a fact that we did not know. This latest surprise in a book full of providential, blessed surprises. This latest surprise is the most significant surprise. Naomi, we learn, at last is a woman of property. Even while her daughter-in-law gleans as a poor stranger and sojourner in the fields of Bethlehem, a female in Israel with land as an inheritance. Naomi is a female in Israel with land as an inheritance, and that does not surprise us, as the case of the daughters of Zelophehad in the book of Numbers attests. But this widowed female, apparently poor and dependent, is revealed to be an owner of land. And notice how she is characterized by Boaz. She is the widow of our brother Elimelech. The death of Elimelech, the life of the widow Naomi. This matter of the land for sale is set in the context of death and life. What Naomi has experienced, what Ruth has experienced, what God Almighty has granted, life, not death, is now part of the highly charged drama at the gate of Bethlehem. At the gate of judgment, the issue is life for the survivor of the dead. And in this life, a child, a man with a name, a man with a name who will make the name Naomi, Boaz, Ruth live forever. There is a name. The contrast between life and death is evident in verse 3 and verse 5. The Hebrew text of verse 3 reads, "The field or land of Elimelech Naomi is selling since her return from the field or land of Moab." the field of the dead husband, the living widow, back from the fields of Moab, is selling. Death contrasted with life. And verse 5, buy the field of the living Naomi, and you buy Ruth, the wife of the dead. Again, death contrasted with life. In this climactic scene of this poignant drama, we are reminded of the issues of life and death, even as we have been reminded of the issues of life and death since we first met Naomi and Ruth in chapter 1. And to underscore the importance of this climactic scene at the gate, you will notice how the author uses duplication. How he uses duplication to heighten the drama. Verse 1, Boaz invites the anonymous fourth character to turn aside and sit. And then you watch him turn aside and sit down. Verse 2, Boaz urges the elders to sit. And then you watch the 10 elders sit at the gate. The principals are gathered. They are seated. Next, you will notice a duplicate or parallel pattern in verses 3 and 4 and verse 5. Verses 3 and 4, Naomi, land, buy, redeem. Now verse 5, Naomi, land, buy, redeem. The Hebrew is exactly duplicated. The duplication highlights the new element in the drama. You must also redeem Ruth. In verses 7 and 8, notice the duplicate mention of removing the sandal. Boaz becomes the possessor of the land. Boaz becomes the possessor of Ruth. The final duplication in verses 1 to 12 is in verse 9 and verse 11. Elders, people, witness occurs in both of those verses. The Hebrew terms are exactly duplicated. Corroboration is doubly emphasized by the testimony of the eyewitnesses at the end of this judgment scene at the gate. We are doubly reminded of the dramatic tension and anticipation of this scene at the gate. And the dialogue at the gate. Boaz speaks to the Goel, verse 1. He, the Goel, does not speak in return. Boaz speaks to the elders, verse 2. They, the elders, do not speak in return. Boaz speaks to the Goel again in verses 3 and 4. He does speak at the end of verse 4. Boaz speaks to the Goel for the third time in verse 5. He responds in verse 6. Boaz speaks to the elders and to the people in verses 9 and 10. The elders and the people respond in verses 11 and 12. What is this dialogue doing? You will notice that virtually all of the speeches are responses to Boaz. Speech answers speech, and the drama draws to a close centered upon Boaz. He is the mediator at the gate. Our primary Goel disappears from our story when he refuses to do his duty. The emphatic "I cannot redeem" in verse 6. Yes, I did save that duplication. The emphatic "I cannot redeem" is an emphatic self-removal from the drama. Our anonymous kinsman redeemer takes his no name and journeys into ignominy. I cannot, I will not redeem. Now I say ignominy because our friend, verse 1, was ready, willing, and able to take the land which Naomi had for sale. Perhaps he was a real estate developer in Bethlehem, and any new parcel put dollar signs in his eyes. In any event, he sees a potential profit and he bites. He bites like the lust-oriented, wealth-demanding land buyer. Did Boaz set the trap for him? Did Boaz know that he would bite? Did Boaz first offer the tidbit of the piece of land before he revealed the woman in the bargain? Neat question, isn't it? Very neat question. But when he learns that it will not be a pure cash money profit, when he discovers that he must take the woman in the deal, another man's former wife, and a foreign woman at that, he demurs. How quickly financial gain is tempered by, well, you see, this is getting very complicated, and after all, it's going to jeopardize my other financial ventures, and it's also going to put my future inheritance at risk. It's going to affect my selfish world. And my selfish world is my God. And I won't move my God out of my world. Not for this woman. Not even for that piece of land. No, there's no way to redeem this anonymous kinsman redeemer. He is self-centered. And Boaz proves his selfish character to be the opposite, the duplicate opposite of his, Boaz's own self-giving character. And so death takes our anonymous Goel. No, not literally, but he dies out of our story. Disappears from the names remembered in Israel. His own legacy, now there's a piece of irony, isn't it? His legacy is to be remembered as the no-name. The no-name who preferred a piece of dirt to the will of God. A piece of property to giving life, on giving life to the name of a family in Israel. And what's he end up with? He ends up with no inheritance. You defy the Almighty God. You stand against his will and law. And you think you're going to inherit the earth. I've got news for you. You end up with no name. The unnamed Goel goes the way of Elimelech, removed from the story by the arena of death, the land where the living are forgotten. But the true Goel, Boaz, goes the way of life, full and rich life for Ruth, life for Naomi, even ongoing life for the names of those two dead men, Elimelech and Mahlon. Boaz becomes the mediator between the tragic past and the blessed future. He stands at the intersection. He is the advocate. He is the intercessor through whom Ruth finds rest. He is the intermediary through whom Naomi's house finds life. This kinsman redeemer, Boaz, this kinsman redeemer anticipates the midpoint, the intersection of life and death. Boaz closes down the dominance of death which hangs over Naomi and Ruth. Boaz opens the exuberance of life, new life in prospect for Naomi and Ruth. What flows through Boaz's redemption in Bethlehem will be recapitulated. It will be recapitulated in the history of redemption beginning at Bethlehem, recapitulated even as it is actuated in this phase of the history of redemption in the days when the judges judge, chapter 1, verse 1. This story is going to be replayed. Replayed. Because the son of Boaz will stand at the intersection of life and death. And as our kinsman redeemer, he will draw us into an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. And he will designate us heirs together and joint heirs with him of the grace of everlasting life. And so this morning we close the book of Ruth. As we close the genealogy of Boaz at the end of the book of Ruth, and we look to the close of the revelation of the history of redemption in the recapitulation of that genealogy in Ruth 4 in Matthew chapter 1, duplicated in Luke chapter 3. For the end of this story is the beginning of your story and my story. It is the story of Ruth's greater son. It is the story of Jesus Christ, God's son. An eternal Goel, an everlasting kinsman redeemer, whose name, whose blessed name is above every name under heaven. In his name, life everlasting. In his name, no more death. Let us pray. What a beautiful story, and yet a beautiful anticipation of the story of your dear Son, who saw us in the land of death, without any inheritance, poor and abandoned, with no strength, and placed the covering of his wings over us, shadowed and canopied us with his gracious favor. Lord God, our Father, we bless you for Boaz and Ruth's son. We bless you for David. We bless you for Jesus, son of David, son of Ruth and Boaz, son of God. And we bless you in his name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.